This is episode number 790 with Trent Shelton.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. Jimi Hendrix. The Dalai Lama said, "World peace begins with inner peace." And Albert Einstein said, "Peace cannot be kept by force. It can only be achieved by understanding." Welcome to this episode. We've got my man Trent Shelton in the house, who's a former NFL football player, wide receiver, who founded a movement called Rehab Time with over 10 million people following him over on Facebook, millions on Instagram and YouTube, and all over the place online. Some of his videos get 100 million plus views, and he's changed the lives of tens of thousands of people who have gone through different struggles in their life, trying to figure out how to find their purpose, how to get through challenging relationships, how to fulfill their destiny and be their greatest you. And in this interview, we cover how to be a reflection of what you believe and what you truly stand for, and stepping into that reflection. Also, we talk about the right ways to treat people and how to treat yourself, how to believe in yourself once you've found your purpose, and how to find your purpose. We cover that whole process. The top five ways to stay focused and to develop a focused mindset, and the power of peace and why it's Trent's top priority. The power of peace. When you find that inner peace, you can take over anything in the outer world.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
And as you listen to this episode with Trent Shelton, make sure to share it with your friends, lewishowes.com/790. Just take a screenshot of this right now, post it on your Instagram stories, tag myself, Lewis Howes, and at Trent Shelton, and let us know what you enjoyed about this episode. Without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only, Trent Shelton. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatest podcast. We've got my man, Trent Shelton, in the house, brother. Good to see you.
Good to see you, man.
Glad you're here. You're looking lean and mean.
Thank you, man. Definitely lighter than the last time.
Last time you're here, you're a little chubbier. Yeah, you know, you look like a little marshmallow man. Michelin man in the house.
Yes, man.
But you've been training hard lately.
I have. I like it, man.
We got to hang out a few weeks ago in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
It's good to do a run with you and a workout, leading the HIIT workout for all of us with Dean and the crew. And you've got a new book out, man. I'm excited about this because last time we talked, we kept saying, like, when's the book going to happen?
Yeah.
And this is called The Greatest You. Make sure you guys pick it up. Check it out. It's out right now. You guys can get it. Face reality, release negativity, and live your purpose.
Yes.
And you've been inspiring people for, what is it, 5-6 years now with your online content, or longer now?
It was started 10 years ago in 2009, but I would say 2011 is where I got really focused.
And it started to kind of really take off.
About 2012, yep.
Now you got... How many do you have? 10 million on Facebook?
Right, 10 million on Facebook.
And a couple million on Instagram and everywhere else. It just keeps blowing up. And all your videos seem like they have 100 million views. Just like you're really intentional about your message and you speak to people's heart. And I think a lot of people are struggling right now, and you bring this voice and this message because you've been through the struggle as well. In your book, you talk about this, but
you're married and you've got some beautiful kids right now, another one on the way. But back in the day, you weren't like this perfect like husband, boyfriend.
Not at all.
You tell us a story. You were dating someone, but then you had a baby with someone else at the same time. You were off and on. What was going on?
It was tough, man. So it was my first year in the NFL and just throughout college, man, like that was a lifestyle. I mean, growing up, that was the picture of success. You know, it's money, cars, women. That's what we thought success was. So right. I wanted all those things when I got it. And so I got caught up in that lifestyle that was new to me at 21 years old, 22 years old. Had a off and on relationship. That's no excuse to do what I did, but it was off and on. And she actually lived in New York and I was in Indy. So it kind of gave me room to do what I wanted to do. Exactly. Exactly.
Have fun.
Exactly. And live my life at that point, man. And I ended up meeting Maria just being out. She was
in Indianapolis,
yep, in Indy. Beautiful. I mean, when I first saw her, I was like, man, she's bad. Yeah. And I was like, just being honest.
She was a bad girl.
Yeah, and we messed around and we were friends, ended up getting her pregnant. Yeah.
And that was while you were dating someone else.
Yes. See, that was tough, man. That was really tough because even on a deeper level, the girl I was dating, our families were really close.
Ooh.
Like, I've been knowing her since I was born. Like, wow. Our family, our moms are best friends. And so it became very much a lot of friction.
The betrayal, the lies, the
everything.
Deceit.
Everything. And I was hurting more than just her. So now my mom and her mom are not friends. Well, they're friends now, but
they
at that time,
friends.
Yeah, they were going back and forth at each other because, you know, each was trying to protect their child. And it was like the first time I had to face reality. Like, you know, there's things you can run from, there's things you can hide, but like a pregnancy, you can't hide.
You can't hide from that.
And I'm asking my homeboys, like, hey, what should I do? They're like, man, don't don't worry about it. Don't tell her now. Just let it blow over. And just, I had to face my reality, man. I was like, I can't keep living like that. Like, let me face it. And I faced it and it was bad. It was really bad.
What happened when you faced it? When you told the girl you're dating?
I told her and I actually got kicked out her apartment at the time and I had like instant karma. I was trying to fly back to Texas and it was like a snowstorm in New York and I got stuck in the airport that day. It was bad.
Man. Oh man.
So
she's screaming at you. She's upset. Oh, yeah. She's hurt.
Yeah, it was bad. It was very bad. And, you know, of course, over time, and even being not a just rude to Maria, too. Like, I was blaming her. I was trying to blame everybody for my mistake. So I'm blaming her, telling her, like, it's your fault and not being a man I should have been to her during her pregnancy.
Right.
So for the first 5 or 6 months in her pregnancy, I wasn't too active, just to be honest with you.
Wow.
I had a wake-up call. Because I had no excuse. My father was there for me my whole entire life. I grew up in a good household. And I was like, man, like I'm about to have a son. And I refuse to be that guy, no matter what the situation is with his baby mother, use that as an excuse or a reason not to be in his life. And so I had a conversation with Maria and I said, listen, we don't have to be together. We don't have to like each other, but let's make this about our son, Tristan. And we both agreed on that. And we came to an understanding. And as time grew, we grew closer to each other when we got to really know each other and peel back all the layers of our past and everything. And I mean, we're married now for 3 years going on 4.
Wow, man. So how long were you together with your first child, just being, you know, co-parents?
Couple.
Not being together, but just parenting.
About 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah, Tristan's 10. Yeah, about 7 years.
Wow, so you weren't together in the 7 years. You were just
off and on. Yeah, parenting off and on. So probably about 3 of those years, we were together.
Okay.
3 of those years.
And why'd you break up?
No, we didn't break up. So the first 4, right, we were just
friends, parents.
Friends, parent, off and on, like friends, enemies, parent, all of that stuff, you know, just the emotions. And then we just finally came to, I feel like, a mature place. Because we were young, a mature place. And then we put all our differences aside and we realized like we really had chemistry and love for each other. And we got to know each other on a deeper level. And then that started our relationship. And we've been together ever since.
Wow. Okay, so 3-4 years ago, you started the relationship.
Yeah.
Where you've been together.
Yep.
Wow, did you get married too or no?
When?
Did you get married too then?
No, that was, we got married, 3 years ago.
3 years ago, that's when you got you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got together, got married, and then you had a second child, now you have a third one on the way?
Yep, third one on the way.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah, we definitely like, I tell people all the time, that story definitely beat the odds, man, just of having to go through that. So I understand like co-parenting. And you know, when I talk to men, I understand like having the troubles because Tristan, he lived in Indianapolis for a while. And like I was in Seattle playing and I was in Washington. And it was funny, like every time I would bring them in and try to make it work, I got cut. So it was like, is this like not meant to be? And even being in Texas, being away. So I understand that. But also, like, I really wanted to fight to be in his life. And it wasn't about making a relationship work for Tristan, though, at the same time, because I knew that wouldn't keep us together. So we had to love each other, know each other, kind of despite Trist. You know what I'm saying? Mm. A lot of
as
people.
As friends. You had to love
exactly.
each other.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of people will get into relationships or get married because they have a kid together, and they think that's the kid's going to keep them together, and that's absolutely not. Right? It can, might can bring you together, but that child or children cannot keep you together. And yeah. we knew that. So we have to figure out, like,
what's going to keep someone together?
I think in a relationship, just first of all, connection and selflessness, and really understand that you really love that person. Like, not because that's your baby mom or your baby dad. Of course, that's a factor, but I love you for who you are despite anything else, right? Anything external, I love your internal self. So we have to realize that and really come to grips with that.
When did you realize, like, oh, this isn't just my baby mama that's yeah. co-parenting, but this is someone that I truly have feelings for, or love her soul? When did you realize?
The moment, I can't remember the exact feeling or moment, but I know it was around the time when she moved down, and she said, it's so funny.
She moved down to Texas.
She moved down to Texas, and she said, it wasn't for me, right? That was, that's what she said. Sure. And she still stands by this by that day, but.
She moved down to your city,
she
too.
Moved down to Fort Worth, because Indy, she felt like, no against anybody in Indianapolis, but just Fort Worth was a better opportunity. And she always said, well, if it didn't work out with you, there's other guys in Fort Worth, and Texas is better than Indy, right?
Wow.
So she moved down, and when I realized it, man, is how once we put our immatureness aside and became mature, how she had every right, because I was struggling. Like, she had every right in the world at that point to, like, beat me down. I really could barely provide for my child, because I'm playing arena football. I mean, you know how that is, right?
You know that check. When was this?
This was in probably 2011.
Oh, like man. Yeah, you're making it probably $1,000.
Yeah, this wasn't like the old arena football, right?
Yeah, exactly. 500 a week, maybe.
Exactly. Definitely for the love of the game at that point.
Oh, man.
So I'm struggling with that. I'm trying to train kids on the side. And so I'm in a vulnerable position as a man, not being a provider. And she had every right to be like, okay, this is my time to shoot shots at him and tear him down. But instead, she built me up.
Really?
Big time. She built me up.
And how so?
Just by encouraging me. Like, when she realized, because I had just started rehab, like, rehab time started in 2009. But this is the moment when I started to realize, like, okay, this is something as far as me speaking and as far as a brand and building it. And so she was there at the beginning with me making T-shirts and writing, helping me write every single name on a package and going to the post office. All
wow.
of that in that moment.
And she was there for you even when you weren't together.
Big time. Big time.
So you probably started to feel like, wow, this girl's really got my back. She really cares.
In the ugly
moment. And I'm not really treating her well, and she's still there for me.
In the ugly moment, because when I met her, you know, I was a football player. That was my highlight. So I could say, well, maybe she's with me because of that, right? Because that's my beautiful success. But when it was the dark moment of my life, my rock bottom, and she was there, still there for me. And she was like, she could have been like, rehab time, like, no, you need to get a real job. And other people were telling me that. She was like, I don't know, like, what it is you're going to do, but I'll help support and I'll believe in you.
Wow.
With that. So she, like, held it down.
That's pretty inspiring. Household.
And so it was always my goal to flip it and be like, hey, you don't have to work anymore. And now she's an influencer herself, but it's cool to be able to do that. But yeah, she had my back when a lot of people didn't.
Wow.
And so that gained a lot of like, I'm big on that, man. Like, when you have nothing, when you're going through something, like, who's really going to be there for you? Who's going to have your back? And sometimes it's the people closest to you that you think would, that wouldn't. Especially when it's a person that, like, she had every right to come back at me because how I treated her, you know, previously and during her pregnancy. But she went past all that and said, you know what? I see something inside of you, and I believe in you, and I'm going to support you. And she never belittled me, never made me feel like less during
wow.
that time.
Very inspiring. What do you think? What do you think it's about that's inside of her that made her be able to do that without being resentful or angry at you, but actually put her feelings aside and support you like that?
I don't know, man. So we have to call her right now and ask her. But
is that more of like a female quality in general, or is that just like you got lucky with her on accident, kind of?
I think it could be a human quality with people. You know, it just depends on the person and their heart. And I think she really had genuine, you know, love for me, you know, too. Like, and of course, I'm the father of her son. Her dad passed away when she was 14. Oh. And so maybe she thinks that, you know, or maybe she knows that, you know, make sure Trent's there, you know, as a man. Like, I want to fully support him, make him the best man he can be for Tristan.
Whether we're together or not.
Exactly.
But did she always want to be with you? Was that part of, like, her vision? Or was she like, screw this guy?
Yeah. I believe she was attracted to me, and I believe she wanted to be with me. But I think after all the mess that was going on and that whole thing of within that, you know, span of years, I think she got to a point where she didn't want to be with me. But I think it was kind of a conflict back and forth.
So. Yeah, yeah. What do you regret about those couple of years where you were kind of the nastier version of yourself to her, to maybe people in your life? Yeah. Maybe to yourself, what do you regret that you did or said, and what would you say to yourself if you could go back and talk to that guy?
Man, the things I regret is just hurting people. You know how it feels to be hurt, as far as like anybody watching this. I know how it feels to be hurt. So why would I want to put that on other people when I wouldn't want that put on myself by other people? And so I would always tell myself, I mean, I know it's the simplest phrase in life, but treat people how you want to be treated. Get the respect you wish to receive, give the loyalty you wish to receive. Because a lot of people say, you know, I want loyalty, but they don't give loyalty, you know, or they don't give support. I want people to support me. Well, who are you supporting? Mm. And so for me, it's going back and saying, you know, be a reflection of what you believe and what you truly stand for, and make sure you pass it on to other people and set that tone.
Yeah, I think I talked to Matthew Hussey, who's a friend of mine. He's a relationship coach for women. He told me one time, like, a lot of women will ask me, like, how do you find the one? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you attract the one, the person you want to be with? He's like, make a list of all the qualities you want from that person and then go be those things.
Yeah,
so write down every quality you want to attract from that person and start being that thing. You know, if you want a loyal man, be a loyal woman. If you want a giving and caring, compassionate guy, you know, be that towards other people.
Yeah.
And you'll attract that. So that's powerful, man. Wow. I'm curious to know, you had your vision was, your purpose was to be an athlete. Right, as a kid, you wanted to be a professional athlete.
Yep.
Is that
For sure.
True to say?
Yeah.
But then things got off track, and you got cut. You play arena ball for $100 a week or whatever we're getting paid. Then whatever happened there, did you get injured or did you just decide this is not worth it anymore?
Well, what happened, you know, they had the UFL at that time?
Yeah.
So I got signed to the UFL. So I left arena, got signed to the UFL.
Like 3 weeks.
Happened, yeah. Right? It folded, and then that's why I was like, all right. And then I went and signed again with the Voodoo, but I never made it to the Voodoo's training camp.
Team, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you just were like, okay, I'm not playing anymore. I got to figure out what to do next.
Yeah.
When someone has a purpose or a dream that they pursue and they get a taste of it, and then their entire identity shifts into something else, how do they figure out what their purpose is now?
Yeah, so I have a take about purpose, and I want to touch on it. And a lot of people, I haven't really heard it said like this, and it's actually in the book. I actually wrote the book, the chapter of the book, and I went back probably months later. I was like, I'm going to take this. I want to change it. And so I get that question a lot, right? How do I find my purpose? And my thing is this. I don't know if purpose is something that you necessarily find. You know, I don't know if the world has your purpose, right? I think we go, like, where is it at? Like, is it down the street? You know, who has it? And so I think when we look for it like that, we can end up lost or finding something that might be a pretend purpose or something that are, you know, our wants, like are really wanted. And we say, okay, this is my purpose now. I think you are purpose as a person. That's what I've been saying. When I said that, it kind of changed my life. So I say, I am purpose. You were born on purpose. I mean, of course, you know the nerd statistics about like you, the chance of you being you, it's like 0% chance and your parents have to come together, the sperms, whatever. So like, I'm like, if you're looking for a miracle, you're that miracle. It's like, do you realize that? So you are purpose. And when I really embodied that and really like understood that, I realized that my purpose isn't rehab time because that can be lost. My purpose isn't football because that can be lost. My purpose is Trent Shelton at my pure. Who am I? Because when I understand that, I can go in any placement, right? I feel those are placements. I can go in any of those placements and actually live my full potential, actually make a difference, actually use my life to bring betterment in this world. And so that's helped me in the process of not getting attached to something and allowing something to become, you know, a temporary identity. So I literally can leave here now and be that purpose. I can go talk to somebody outside. So you don't need all these different things.
Yeah.
Now people say, well, what's the avenue, right? Of course we look for that.
What's the placement?
Exactly.
What's the placement? The mechanism.
Exactly. And I just feel like with that, you know, it's kind of a deeper soul search. So like with me being a speaker, I never wanted to be a speaker. I thought being a speaker was corny. You know, I didn't grow up. It's like, I want to be a speaker when I grew up. I wasn't into personal development. Like I was raised pretty much on hip hop, to be honest with you, you know? And when I look back now, I realize how many times people have put the calling in my life for this, or people have identified that, because I'm naturally an introverted person. But when I would speak, people would say, man, like, you're going to be a powerful speaker. I can probably name 4 or 5 times in my life. And so I think that
when you speak it into you.
Exactly. And that magnet that you have inside of you, you start to realize, I call it the magnet because it's what attracts people to you. And when you understand your magnet, that's when your power is released. So I realized, like, people were identifying my magnet way back then. I just was too blind and too wrapped up into what I wanted to do that I couldn't even feel that. So maybe a step that somebody can do, like, ask people, like, what is it about you that gravitates people? Like, what's your magnet? I'm sure people will tell you, it's like, oh, it's your smile, or it's the way you speak, or it's the way you do this and that. And then you just got to go do trial and error. Mm-hmm. Test it out.
Try different stuff, yeah.
See what you like. I think at the end of the day, you can have a lot of people telling you what you could be good at too. Like, but it's got to resonate with you at the end of the day.
Fulfillment.
You've got to be the one that says, yeah, I want to do that, or I want to try that and explore that. And you're going to figure out quickly, like, maybe if everyone said, you're going to be a great speaker, and you did it for a year and you hated it, well, at least I tried it, and I don't have to think about it anymore, and maybe I can speak in a different way. Maybe I can do these creative videos where I get to speak my message online, but I'm not in front of a big stage of people. So you can still figure out a mechanism in a different way with your gift.
Yeah.
And try different stuff.
I agree.
So maybe it's like you loved writing and everyone said, oh, you should go write books. And you try it and you really didn't enjoy the process, but you liked writing movies, you liked writing TV shows, you liked a different creative process within that mechanism. So yeah, I think that's a great idea of saying I am purpose.
Yeah, it just empowers you. Now you're not like feeling like you're incapable of doing stuff.
So how does someone, when they figure out, okay, this is the gift that I have, I'm born with purpose because I am that purpose. And I have this talent, this gift, this attribute that adds value to other people.
Right.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am, or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
So I'm going to go start doing this thing. But how do I actually believe in myself and develop a champion's mind of like, I want to do something at a high level?
Right.
How do I develop that mindset when there's so much competition?
Yeah.
There's so many people who are better than me. I'm so far behind. I'm so young. I'm so old. I'm so whatever. I don't have the resources yet. how do I develop a mindset of belief that my purpose is something that I should go all in on?
Yeah. So this is a packful question, man. We have to, go through layers in this. So there's a lot of ways. I mean, I think one thing that you can do, I think fear is a part of that, right? Might not go all in because you're fearful of, like you said, you might not be as great as someone else, or you might not, you know, succeed in that field. So for one, understanding what fear is, which for me, it's basically just creating a known result from a situation you haven't experienced yet. So you're telling yourself what it's going to be before you're ever going to do, So of course you're not going to go do it, you know? So
if you believe this result is going to happen, it's going to be bad.
Exactly.
I'm going to fail. I'm going to look stupid. Everyone's going to make fun of me. Then you're probably not going to want to do it.
Exactly. Or be able to give your full, like, it's like playing football. Like, if you go out there and like, we're going to lose, or I'm going to have a terrible game, more than likely you're going to have a terrible game. It's going to be hard to operate at a high level. So I've just learned to, I always say, like, if fear was a door and behind this door was all this negativity, things that I'm saying, like, I'm going to lose, I'm going to suck, I'm never going to walk through that door. So in order for me to walk through the door, even though the door is super scary, I have to make empowering things on this side of the door. I'm going to learn, I'm going to grow. Even if I don't win, it's going to be something valuable in it. So let me walk through this door, right? Even though it might not be perfect, I'm still going to find growth inside of it. So to me, that's like a small little trick to like really hack fear and get over fear. And also, of course, it's, Brendan talks about this a lot, like not just repetition, but like really like focused repetition, like finding an area and say, you know what, I'm going to get better at this, because sometimes fear comes from not being prepared, you know? I mean, if we go back to sports, if I'm going to a game, didn't watch tape, didn't do any of this stuff, I'm going to be pretty scared, or taking a test, you know?
Yeah.
So preparation also is a part of that. And so I would just tell people, you know, you gotta figure out all that, how to get over fear, but just go out there and do it. And one way to go out there and do it, I use leverage questions with myself.
Like what?
So I go all out, bro. Like, this might be over the top stuff, but
so do I.
So I was running, what's the side, next running, I don't know what the trail was, my friend took me on, like a back trail. And as I'm running, it sucks, it's uphill, my heart rate is like zone five. And I just tell myself, like, if I quit on this, then I'm not living it for rehabbers. If I quit, then I'm putting a mindset in myself that's a quitter, and my son and my daughter are gonna feel that. Like, I go over the top with it, so I don't give up. And so with leverage questions, it can be anything. Like, it can be the simple leverage question that tomorrow's not promised. I mean, that's one of the best ones, right? 150,000 people die every day. Tomorrow is not promised. So if I'm not going after it, then I'm going to die incomplete.
Wow.
I'm going to die being a person that I wasn't created to be. Like, I want to meet the greatest me. I want to meet my full potential. So I told Tom this yesterday about, I would literally go to cemeteries at one point, and this seems super creepy, like, and weird. But I would go to cemeteries. After my friend committed suicide, death became so surreal to me because it was somebody that was like next to me. I would go to cemeteries sometimes with my friend and just walk around and be like, bro, we're going to be here one day.
Wow.
And it's like, you look at the tombstones, you realize that death has no preference. You know, different ages, it's 5-year-olds or 80-year-olds. It's black, it's white, it's women, it's men, it's children, it's adults. And it just made it super surreal for me. So gain leverage, right, in your life. Like, what's something that's gonna make you move? That's all you have to do is move. Take that first step. That's the most important step in the journey. And listen, you're gonna fall on your face, you're gonna be embarrassed, but everybody who's experienced greatness has been through that. Like, you didn't get through 100 million downloads overnight, right? I'm sure you went through things, you're probably a podcaster, like, I'm throwing this one away, like, when I first started, right? So go through that and study people who've been through it to give you that confidence.
Yeah, that's good, man. How else do you develop a champion mind for yourself? Like, yeah, how do you push through your dad? You're gonna have three kids here soon. You've got traveling all the time. You've got book launches, videos every day, all this stuff. How do you stay in that mindset consistently? And do you drop off ever?
Yeah, of course I drop off.
Besides last year when I saw you. Yeah. 30 pounds heavier.
Everybody knew I dropped off. I posted a video yesterday, like, Trent, you gained weight. I was like, that's from last year. But I don't have perfect days, you know. I'll be the first to. I have days where I'm lazy. I have days where I have times where I doubt myself, all these things. So everything I talk about, like, I practice it myself. Sometimes when I'm making video, I'm preaching it to myself. But how I keep a championship mindset is I understand these five principles in the championship mindset. I understand, and it's words that everybody's heard before, But I think when you break it up, like I've studied high-level people. Like I've been around, of course, athletes. I've been around people as yourself. And we all have these qualities. Like everybody has them. So number one is commitment. And commitment, staying loyal to what you said you were going to do long after the mood you said has left.
Yeah, being your word.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when that mood leaves, who are you going to be? So some people might be watching this podcast. They're going to be hype or whatever. And it's like, I'm changing everything, which is great. But we know when real life hits, who are you going to be? Call it the New Year's Eve mindset, right?
Yeah.
New year, new me. So you got to find commitment. And I would just challenge people, like, find something small to stay committed to. I mean, fitness is a great thing. Yeah. Say, hey, I'm going to go to the gym, you know, maybe 2 days a week, 3 days a week, and stay committed to that. Because if you can't be committed to the small things, don't expect big results and big things to happen.
Boom. Yep.
The second thing is discipline. My definition of discipline is probably the easiest definition ever. Just get good at saying no to the things that don't get you a yes. And that's very hard because there's temptation out there. There's just bad habits that are just waiting for you to start doing. So maybe it's your friends. Maybe you got to start saying no to your friends. And maybe, you know, your friends aren't bad friends. It's just that when you around them, they're not doing the things that you want to do, or they're not at a place where you want to go. Like I had to leave some friends behind, not because they were bad to me. It's just that hanging around them, I knew that mindset was contagious. And I knew I wasn't strong enough to be around them because I would fall victim to that lifestyle.
Right.
So I had to let them go. I used to like to party. Like I said, people like, oh, how'd you stop partying? And like, I was like, I used to love partying and going out. Like I probably still do like it, to be honest with you. Like it's fun. But I just tell myself, like, where is this leading me? I mean, I'm 6-7 hours in a club and, you know, you're hungover. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, where is this really going? You know, it's just like a false sense of fulfillment that actually moves me nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so think about that. Like, that's discipline. Discipline is, you know, you saying no to the cake or the pie that you really love. Like, discipline is not saying no to things you hate. It's easy. It's saying no to the things that you love or like that won't get you to a place where you would love to be.
Mm, that's good. Okay.
Third thing is the magic word for everything, consistency.
Yep.
And my definition of consistency is anchor your actions in greatness so daily you produce nothing less than your very best.
Mm.
So when you're consistent, you become reliable. When you're reliable, you become a trustworthy person. People always ask Trent, like, what was your thing with rehab time? How did you grow? And I just tell people, I've been consistent and living the purpose. You've been consistent. Like, yeah. Consistency pays off. Consistency makes you a go-to person. If I was an off and on person or came with an off and on switch, and 1 minute on my page, I'm talking about positivity, the next one, I'm talking about something just to go viral, people wouldn't come there. People come because I know Trent is going to talk about something with self-worth or something with growth. I'm going to listen to Lewis because he's going to have somebody or even himself pouring into us. So I know I can go here. And also I can tell other people to go there because I trust the information that they're giving.
Yeah.
So be consistent. Like, you don't have to be the most talented, the most whatever, but if you're consistent, it will always pay off.
Mm, love it, man.
The fourth thing is faith. And faith for me is believing the odds are beatable even when the odds say it's impossible. And that's simply faith. Faith is just knowing that even though you can't see it, right? Even though it's not right there in your face, it's going to happen. It's the gardener's mindset. It's being able to plant a seed and water the seed. And, you know, you're taking care of this seed and you don't see the growth happening on top of the surface, but you have the mindset, you have the knowledge to know that if I'm doing these things, if I'm putting in the work, if I'm, you know, creating the right habits, if I'm making the right sacrifices, there's growth taking place that I can't even see. And then one day, boom, right? That fruit or that crop comes up. I learned that from my grandpa because I was so impatient with it. I'm like, we just planted like yesterday. Where is it at? And then next week, and then I have to come back to visit him. And then finally, that crop would be there. And he always told me, he's like, there's something going on beneath the surface, growth taking place that you can't see. And you have to know that growth is happening even when you can't see
it.
And it's the same thing with your business,
everything,
your
mission, relationship, everything. Health.
You got to know if you're doing the right things, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And for me, that's always kept me, you know, focused, just understanding that faith. Like, man, I'm doing the right stuff, so it's going to pay off. Even in fitness, I mean, you if a week or two, you're not seeing major results.
Yeah.
But, you know, you keep doing it, then one day you take off your shirt or you're running and you're like, man, I feel
light.
Tired. Yeah, you know,
light.
I'm good.
Yeah.
So put in the work. Fifth thing is heart. And heart is finding the strength to give more, even when everything else, even yourself, says you have nothing left. And my demonstration of that would be kind of that marathon mindset. just I think it's like mile 19, they say, right? It's like the mile or mile 21.
It just catches up to you. It's like, I'm done.
I can't do anymore. But you keep pushing on. You keep pushing through. And, you know, everybody talks about the why and the reason. And you have to use those leverage questions in your heart, because there's going to be a time when life sucks. There's going to be a time when everything in your business, your personal life might not be going right, right? When things hit the fan, when the pressure is on your life. But you have to know that as long as I keep pushing through, as long as I keep moving forward, the breakthrough is near, right? Sometimes in order to have a breakthrough, you got to damn near break down.
Yeah.
That's what a breakthrough is, right? So that's the championship mindset. And those are things that I remind myself daily to practice and to keep in place with my life.
You're training for a marathon right now?
It's funny. I'm actually running a half marathon on Sunday with Rachel and Dave.
This in Texas?
Yes. Because they asked me and I was just like, I said yes before I thought about it.
When did they ask you?
They asked me like a few weeks ago.
Puerto Rico?
Yeah. It was like, we're running a marathon, you should do it. And I'm just like, a half marathon. I'm like, all right. But I've been training like 6 miles.
Been doing
miles.
Like 6, 7 miles. Yeah, you'd be fine.
So I'll be fine.
That's fine.
But yeah, I was like, man, I should have like waited till I said yes first.
In Austin?
In Austin, yep.
I think it's...
Or Waco. It's in Waco. That's why I did it too. Okay. Baylor's in Waco. So oh, that's nice. My college. So I was like, cool.
You know, I think it's powerful for us when we make commitments on things that scare us before we're ready.
Yeah.
Because then we get ready.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, maybe you didn't want to do that, or maybe you're not ready for it, but you had 4 weeks or whatever it is, 5 weeks to, okay, let me get my game to another level now. Let me be even more diligent, more committed, disciplined, consistent, and believe that like I'm going to be able to push through by creating a routine now for this game plan, for this goal.
Exactly.
And so you've probably been more disciplined in the last 4 weeks than you were before that, because you knew you had something at stake.
And I don't want to go through that process of like not being in shape for it, because that's hard.
And I think a lot of us don't have enough at stake in our life.
There you go.
We don't have enough at stakeness. That's why I think it's important to challenge yourself every year with big challenges. Something that's like, gosh, can I do that? It doesn't have to be a marathon, but maybe you can start out at a 5K or whatever it may be. You can start off with something, or you don't have to write a whole book in a year, but you can get started on something. I think the bigger the challenge, the more committed you become to your life.
Yeah.
Like you that. Step up to something greater than yourself. You lean into that faith. You're like, wow, I've never thought I could do this. But I got to figure it out because I made a commitment to myself and I want to honor the commitment. And when you follow through on some big challenge like this for yourself, you gain so much confidence and belief and poise and grace. And when you continually do that, week or month or year after year, you just become better and better. You become the greatest you when you have big stakes in your life, I believe.
No, I definitely agree with you on that, bro.
So it's like, it's almost like, okay, I had the baby before I was ready to get married. Exactly. But then you like leaned into it and you grew up and you got ready for the marriage and the relationship. But that was a big stake.
Big stake, bro.
It's probably not the best way to go.
I wouldn't tell people to go. Yeah, go. Don't use that as your stake. But you're right, though.
Maybe you wouldn't have risen to who you are now without having a child. Maybe you're like, oh, I'm going to have fun for the next 10 years.
I wouldn't have.
I'm going to play around.
I wouldn't have. You're right. I mean, absolutely. I've said that. Like, Tristan made me like really become a man and man up, because my life became bigger than me and somebody else's life depended on me. Like, for the first time, of course you have your brothers and your family, but like having somebody directly that's your responsibility, like it made me man up. Wow. It made me look at myself and be like, I don't know if I ever told you this, but like the first thing that I told Tristan, he couldn't talk, but I told him in my head, you know, I don't want you to grow up to be like me. And that like hurts as a father. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? And he's gonna, the whole saying, you know, listen to what I don't do it as I do, listen to what I say, whatever that thing. I'm like, okay. Like, no kid ever does that. They're literally watching what you do.
Your example. So you needed to become the example that you're speaking into.
And everything. And even now, like, I like to see him watch me, you know, hey, Dad, where'd you go? I ran 6 miles. And just planning that, oh, I'm doing this, I'm working. So he's seeing that, and he's seeing that example. So now, you know, he wants to go do more. He's seeing what it takes. I'm like, I don't play sports no more, and I'm having to do this. So you want to make it to NFL? You better start getting on it, you know? But now he sees it in me. I'm not just talking it. I'm living it. And that's the best way of influence, is to actually be like an example.
Mm. You talk about burning bridges.
Yeah.
Why do we need to burn bridges in our life, and what does that mean?
Yeah, so let me be clear about this part. You don't need to burn every bridge in your life, right? If there's an argument, there's something that, like, don't burn certain bridges. But there are certain bridges in your life that lead you back to destruction, that lead you back to pain, that leads you back to a toxic place in your life. those bridges that don't serve you, you have to burn them. Because if you don't think you're so strong that, you know, you can, oh, I can have this in my life. I'm strong enough not to go back here. No, you got to let it go. You have to literally like burn up the boats, right? And let it go. So what are those bridges in your life? Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's habits. Maybe it's addictions. Maybe it's your mindset. You have to burn those bridges, because when you do that, you have no choice now but to move forward and build the bridges in your life that need to be built. Like I wouldn't be able to build the bridges that I built with you, that I built with other people, if I would have had these same bridges. I can promise you, because I wouldn't be in this world. My mindset wouldn't have brought me into personal development, wouldn't have brought me into doing what I do now. So I had to burn certain bridges.
What can people do to evaluate those parts of their life? Should they write a list of like their closest friends, family, of like habits? Like what are the things they should be thinking about?
So a simple thing that they can do is write a list of, I always say if it's people or habits too, write a list and just put a DRE by it, right? A D is for drain, the E is for energize.
Yeah.
And that's it. And so if somebody has, I say, like a CD, like consistently draining you, then those people don't need to be in your life. It's just facts. If somebody's consistently draining you, if they're never pouring nothing into you and you're always pouring into them, you're going to be empty. A relationship should be reciprocated. It should. They should pour back into you. So are they consistently draining? Now, you're going to have people in your life that drain you that need to stay there. It's you're going to have that. But there's people in your life that are, you know, consistently bringing drama, gossip, problems to you. Like you're never happy. You're never fulfilled around them. You have to let those people go. And then the energize is, are these people bringing energy to my life, positivity into my life, bringing growth into my life? Even though they might not tell me everything I want to hear, they're telling me things that I need to hear. They're challenging me. They're making me see a bigger vision. Like when I talk to some of my friends, like, and some of my peers, I don't want to hear what they have to say sometimes because it's exposing me. But I love that because I know in that exposure, I have to grow from it.
Yeah.
So that's an easy way to do it.
Just make a list of the people in your life first, and then maybe the activities in your life, the habits, the addictions, things like that. Instead, does this give you energy or take energy from it, drain or energy? I like that.
In a great way with your friends, check your text messages, your text message groups. Like I literally had to realize that a lot of my text messages with certain people, like I would do the history. I would just look, see what we're talking about.
Nonsense.
Didn't go anywhere. And then I have a group of people where we're talking about goals, growth, family, things that
successes,
meant something.
Everything.
So I said, you know, I want more of these conversations in my phone and less of these. So you can tell a person's lifestyle by their text message threads. Straight up.
Wow. Look at your texts. I like that. Okay. Now, you've gotten to a place in your life, it seems, where you've got such clear energy. I mean, since last time I saw you, you're no longer Marshmallow Man. You've got like clarity in your face, like your skin is different, your eyes look different. You've got this energy and this focus. You've got, you know, this book coming out, The Greatest You. You've got 10 million plus people following you and listening, hundreds of millions of views. Family is healthy, thriving. What's the greatest challenge for you at this point in your life to get to the next level? Or what do you face? Is there a demon in your life? You've practiced these things for a decade. You're on top of it. You've eliminated all this stuff. What do you do next? Is it, just maintain this, or are there new demons or challenges that come up for you?
Oh, man. It's a deep question. Let me think about that for a minute.
The real demon. What is the thing that challenges you? Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's with your kids. Maybe it's with family. It's comparing yourself to other people. I don't know. What's the thing that you struggle with in your mind that you constantly have to play a game with yourself to say, no, that's not what I want?
Probably, I don't want to say comparison, but I think the growth and success thing, like for me. So what I mean by that is I got to figure a way to like really word this. This is a great question, and I'm glad you asked it. So for me, it's always making sure. So I'll paint the picture like this. Of course, growing up, my definition of success was totally different now, right? It was
making money, being famous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So even with that part of it, it's like I have a business, I have employees to take care of, right? So of course, making money, you have to make money if you have a business or you won't have any business. But for me, it's, of course, I'm getting this massive growth. And I feel a lot of times it's, you know, it can take you to a place that you don't want to be at. right? That resistance.
Like where?
Just from the standpoint of, I wouldn't say doing things that are against your morals because it's not that deep, but the celebrity, the attention that you get, like all the extra stuff that I don't care anything about. You know, I don't. I can honestly say that because I've had those things and those things didn't fulfill me. So I'm the guy that's like shying away from that.
Yeah.
Am I being, I wouldn't say the word lazy, but being content with stuff, yeah, right? Yeah, versus yeah. being like
pushing.
How much do I need to push, right? I have that battle. I mean, it's just so hard because every single day I create videos. I create videos every day. I can impact people. I can speak and all that. But is that really worth it? And so Bob Goff has this quote. I should have just said this at the beginning to make it easy.
But he's great.
I'm paraphrasing it. But he said, like, I don't want to be successful at the wrong things. And his quote is a lot more beautiful than that. But I'm just paraphrasing. I don't want to be successful at the wrong things. And for me, it's like, what does success really mean? I know I'm impacting people's lives and it's great. But at the expense of what? Right now, I'm not at home. You know, with my kids, obviously, and my family. And so it's like, it's that battle. Do I just chill and relax and be okay and say, you know what, this is fine, let me just keep doing this? Or do I grow? But I know in growth, a lot of other sacrifices are going to take place.
So what is the greatest you then? Is it constantly reaching the next level and impacting more people? And
I don't think so.
Or is it being content and living like a balanced life and making sure you're healthy and happy?
Peace is the greatest you.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like.
Inner peace, man.
That's
if you don't have inner peace and you have all the success, what's the point?
That's where I'm at. That's the definition I've came to in the last year.
So true.
With success is like, it's peace. It's getting to my core self. Like, I'm interested in, like, who is Trent Shelton at the core without all this stuff over the last 34 years that's been added on and all these ideas in the world? Like, I'm just, like, hungry for that because I know at the end of life, I ask myself this question a lot, and I don't know why lately, but I'm always asking myself, what really matters? Like, at the end of life, what's going to really matter? I don't want my mom being sick. That really opened my eyes up to a lot. It's like, what really matters? And I don't want to get to the end of life knowing I lived a life that, of course, I made a lot of impact, but I didn't make the impact in the places that I should have made it. So that's why I was saying, even with youth sports, mm-hmm. like, I want to get into that.
That's cool.
And everything. So that's the battle, man. And it's a lot because everything's coming at you every type of way. So it's like, am I being lazy?
Am I playing small? Am I
exactly
not reaching my full potential?
Am I where I should be? Yeah, exactly. Or is there another level, another level? And like, some people are that drives them, like, the next level, but like, how many next levels if you're losing yourself in the process of doing it?
What if you're reaching the next level and you're not losing yourself? You continue to explore yourself and you unlock new things and you're growing. So maybe it's an answer for each person. It's different for every person.
I think it's your definitions and your meanings and what you want out of life.
Yeah. Because I don't have kids right now, but I can imagine, like, I'm getting old. I'm 36. I just turned 36. And I'm like, when I turned 30, I looked at a baby differently than when I was like 29.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a baby and I was like, huh. Like, yes, kids were cute and I liked them before, but I was like, oh, I like almost cried like a little bit, just like seeing a baby. Because I could see what it could feel like being a dad. In 36, like, I feel it more and more. I still have the desire right now to have kids, but I feel like, okay, one day this is going to probably change my life.
Yeah, for sure.
My whole priorities will probably change.
For sure.
For like a deeper meaning of family and like intimacy with like a small group of people and making sure I want to be there for them. I can only imagine, like, once you're away from your child for like a weekend or a week, it's probably like, breaks your heart.
Yeah, and that's why, like, I sacrifice so much in that. Like, I'll be like, no, I don't want to do that. Even if it's, like, financially, like, good and great, I'm like, nope. Because at the end of the day, I know what Tristan, Maya, my boy or girl, is going to remember. And so, like, I'm flying back literally on a red eye just to be at my son's. It's called a Gator Run. It's like a little run. They run around the school just to be there. And it's not a track meet or whatever, but I want to make sure that he always knows that even despite everything I had going on, I was always present in his life. Like, so success to the world means absolutely nothing to me if I'm not successful to my world.
Wow. Right?
So that is the balance factor of my life and trying to figure out that. Like, I'm a type of guy where I probably could be like somewhere on an island somewhere with my family and like disappear and be
happy.
And be good. Yeah. Just with just the normal stuff. But then there is a side of me too that I know requires me to fulfill the calling I have on my life. Being in the spotlight or making these videos, like, that doesn't, I'm an introverted person by naturally. Like, that stuff used to give me anxiety. I said this the other day, being in a crowded room, I still feel alone at times. That's the type of guy I am. And so, but it's my calling. And I know that I was created for this and I meant to do this. So I had to walk into it. And it fulfills me, by the way. Like, it's not like I'm doing this and I hate it, but that's just who I am. So sometimes I want to fall back and be like, I don't need people on Instagram and all that type of stuff, like Facebook. Yeah. But then I understand people need me. So.
Oh, snap. That's a whole other thing. It's part of your purpose. It's like, if you're on an island by yourself, would you be doing a disservice to your purpose?
Exactly.
So it's kind of it's trying to figure out the balance for yourself, like big being time. Content with the impact you're making and happy with what you're making now, and also being present for your life and your family and how much to push. That's interesting. It's tough, man. I think our mind plays tricks on us too.
Yeah.
It's like, what is enough?
There you go. That's a great question. I asked that question, actually, when I was here last time and I was going to New Zealand. I have that on the camera. I asked everybody in the audience that question, like my VIP. They came on camera and said, what's enough? Mm-hmm. And everybody gave their different answers.
Yeah, like what's enough money in your bank account? What's enough impact? What's enough?
And will it ever be enough? J. Cole tackles that good. I don't know if you saw that video of J. Cole, but he talks about that. Like, he talks about, like, basically, like, being a hamster on the wheel and just, like, the run for the next level and the next level of this, you know. You get this money, next level. And he has a great video about that.
I feel like it'll never be enough in the sense of I'll always want to give something to humanity.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm always going to be working towards something to help people. Whether that's helping two kids at a youth program, coaching them as opposed to trying to coach the world, or if it's continually impacting more and more people or serving people through a product or a service, whatever it may be. But I feel like even if $1 billion just planted in my bank account, I would still wanna do something for people.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not necessarily about the money anymore now that I've got money, but it's about showing up every day and knowing that I'm here for a reason and fulfilling that I am purpose.
Yeah. Contribution.
Yeah, the contribution. Yeah. Otherwise, it's like, what's the point? So it's never like, it's not about like, what is enough? It's like, how much are you willing to give? How much can you consistently give?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. Where you can also make sure you're present for your family and the things that matter the most. So you're not just giving all your time and energy to strangers, but you're, how much can I give to my family? How much can I give to myself? How much can I give to others?
Yeah, I prioritize, like my top priority, like is peace.
Yeah,
and I know I lose a lot. I feel like I lose a lot of gain in the external realm of stuff, but I prioritize my peace.
That's smart. So how can I have peace in my heart, and how much can I give with peace in my heart, maybe?
Yeah.
Once I start to feel stressed and overwhelmed, then I need to pull back and go back to peace.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the balance.
Yeah, I think so.
Because inner peace should be the focus.
Exactly. I mean, without it, life is... Yeah.
How often have you felt a lack of peace in the last 12 months?
Maybe a few times.
Yeah. I'm more like a day or two, maybe.
Yeah. I'm more conscious of it and what I want with that. Like, I set my day up for that. Like, I mean, I literally set my day up like before 12. Like, my family knows that it's like my time, like just for me, because a better me, because at first my wife was like, before 12, like I said, you can call me, obviously, but like, let me take this time for me so I can come back home a better man for you and a better father. Because if I'm frustrated, if I'm not, as I do my 4 A's, as I call them, and take care of that and get my workout in, I'm going to be not the greatest me I should be for you. So let me be the greatest me. Mm. And so I love to give people their long time, their self-care time to be positively selfish so you can come back a better version for me. So I'm like, okay, cool, go to the spa, like do that, please. So when you come back home to me, you know, you're refreshed, you're at peace, and it makes it better.
Yeah.
So, and my wife has realized that, and see how like, how better I am for her and for the kids.
What are your 4 A's?
So the 4 A's, some really simple, but it works. So I always say how you start your day influence your day. Obviously you have a great video about that. Mm-hmm. So, and a great book too. Right?
Yeah.
And so the first A is appreciation, obviously. Mm-hmm. Wake up, gratitude, thank God, thank, you know, whoever you thank them, you know, be appreciative for life. Two is affection. I always say hug a day keeps depression away. So I usually hug my wife, my kids. You might not have somebody and go hug your coworker or something. Be weird at first. And three is accomplishment. So set your day up for a win. So do something. I used to dunk a basketball on a 7-foot goal until we got rid of our goal. It just made me feel powerful. I started my day off with a win. So that's accomplishment. Three is accomplishment. And four is activity. And that's usually my workout. So I always say movement is very critical when it comes to mental health. Like move, get outside, nature heals, and protecting your peace. So that's like my protecting my peace thing. That's what I call it, like protecting my peace.
Protect the peace.
That's right.
I like that, man. And I think everyone should be focused on themselves first. Otherwise, you're not going to have anything to give anyone else.
Exactly.
I love that. Protect the peace. Why, can you dunk on a 10-foot rim or no?
Right now, yeah, I probably can. Yeah. I got to get warmed up. That's too early in the morning.
Me too.
Like, yeah, I'm not. Maybe when I got like 25, but nah, like.
It's tough, okay, man.
Yeah, it's different. No.
It takes a couple of warm-up tries for me too still. I love this, man. Make sure you guys get this book, The Greatest You. Trent's got some of the most inspiring videos online right now. And a lot of other friends with Jay Shetty and Princey and a couple other guys, but you're in the top of inspiration with everything you do, man. So make sure you guys check this out, The Greatest You. Follow him on Instagram, Facebook. That's where all of his videos are. Are you on YouTube, too?
Yeah.
Put him there, too? It's just Trent Shelton?
Yep.
Yeah, so make sure to check all that stuff out. I think I asked you the three truths last time, but I'll ask you again. If you could leave the world behind with only three messages, three lessons, and no one had access to your content anymore because you had to take it all with you when you die. Billions of video views with all these great messages, books. You create everything you want in your life, but at the end of the day, you take it with you. You can't leave it behind, and you get to leave behind three truths.
All right.
What would you say is the three things that you would leave behind for people to be the lessons you would leave behind?
Number one, it all starts with you. Self-responsibility. The world owes you nothing. That's where your power is. Number two would be protect your peace. And number three would have to be your life isn't over. So.
What do you mean by that?
Just no matter what you're going through in your life, no, it's not over. It's another story. It's another chapter. Sometimes in the storm, you know, we feel like it's gone, it's done. But your life is never over until it's over. So you always got more in you.
You can always rewrite a new story.
Exactly. Just turn the page. Every day's a new beginning. Every day's a new page.
I love that, man. Who's your biggest inspiration right now in your life? Someone you know or someone you don't know?
Outside of my family, because that would be like a typical answer. Biggest inspiration? J. Cole. Yeah.
Who is this?
Huh?
Who's J. Cole?
You don't know J. Cole?
Maybe I've seen...
You know J. Cole.
Maybe I've seen videos or something, right? Maybe I just don't know the name.
Okay, well, he's top rapper. I mean, outside of Drake.
Okay, I'm sure I heard the music.
Yeah, for sure you heard it. Yeah, middle child song. But yeah, J. Cole, just for the simple fact that I love his message. I just love to see people at such a high level, but don't lose themselves. Like, I saw a picture the other day. He's riding a bike in New York, getting his haircut at just a local barbershop. So, and he's always giving back just cool things. And he just does everything against the grain, you know, as far as like going against the machine and calling out the things that need to be called out. And just the person, like, you can be a regular human being and still do great things.
Oh, so that's cool.
I like his message, man. Of course, I love his music. I'm a fan of his music. So it's kind of one of the people that I'm like, salute. I like what you're doing.
That's cool, man. Well, I got to acknowledge you, Trent, for showing up, man, and constantly improving your life. Because last time I saw you, you're still doing big things, but I see your health at another level. Getting to meet your wife, it was cool to just see that, you know, you haven't let this success and the fame and all the people following you and praising you hold you back from, like, having this strong bond with your wife. You were just on FaceTime before we started. It's like, I love seeing men keep a tight bond with, like, their family. It keeps them grounded and, like, keeps the focus. So I acknowledge you for all that, man. I acknowledge you for doing the challenging thing and writing a book. It's not easy. And for everything you do, man, you're setting an example for running distance. It's not hard, man. All the stuff you do is not easy. So I acknowledge you for not allowing your success to make you lazy necessarily on your health and your relationships and things like that. And not taking the easy way out, man. So
thanks, man.
Acknowledge you for all that. Make sure you guys get the book. Follow Trent. Trent Shelton. Is that Trent Shelton or Rehab Time? What's the...
Trent Shelton, but I mean, you want to follow Rehab Time too.
Yeah, Trent Shelton.
Trent Shelton's my main handle on everything.
Final question. What's your definition of greatness?
What's my definition of greatness? You doing what you were created to do. I think that's greatness. And being who you're created to be.
Team Money.
Appreciate you, brother.
In the house.
There you have it, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Powerful one. I love always asking my friends and influencers the deeper, more challenging questions to get them to really open up. So I'm glad Trent was able to share more of the vulnerable and open up about stuff to help you in your own life. And let me know what you enjoyed about this. Share this with your friends. Tag me on Instagram at Lewis Howes. Tell me what resonated with you the most. I like to reshare a bunch of people that tag me as well. So we'll reshare a few of those every single week. Tag me, let me know. If this is your first time here, please subscribe right now on your app. Just go to your app, click the subscribe button on School of Greatness on Apple Podcast or Spotify or SoundCloud, wherever you are. Subscribe and leave us a review over on Apple Podcast or on iTunes. Those reviews really help us get the message of greatness out there. And be a hero for someone today. Send them this message. Send them this interview. Send them this right now. Just take the link from the podcast where you're listening to it and send it over. Send them a text. Post it on your social media. Send it somewhere so a friend could hear this message. Spread the message of greatness. Be a hero for someone today and do that. And as we circle back to the beginning, Jimi Hendrix said, "When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace." Find that strength within yourself to have love for yourself, to have love for others, to let go of the anger, the resentment, the frustrations that you have in the world, because that means you won't have the inner peace. And until we have inner peace, we can never have world peace, said the Dalai Lama. And Albert Einstein said, "Peace cannot be kept by force. It can only be achieved by understanding." I love you all so very much. You know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.